Good evening, fellow Wahoos, and welcome all you ACC sports fans out there. This is Frank Maloney with my trusty co-host, Jim Hobgood, a.k.a. Hobbo. What a tumultuous week for UVA fans. Last week, UVA pounded Wake in what seemed to portend good chances down in Chapel Hill, but you saw the game. The Wahoos faded in the second half. Joe Harris went after a loose ball, broke his left hand, and then the Hoos struggled last night at Clemson in what was a game I think most folks thought Virginia would win. UVA's Mike Scott must be wondering whatever happened to his MVP season. The Wahoo basketball team's AP ranking is clinging at number 22, and Maryland is coming to Charlottesville on Saturday, shaping up as a must-win game. Coach Tony Bennett knows that he needs three more wins. How will the Wahoos respond to the injury issues? We're glad that you joined us.
You posed a lot of questions there. Do you have the answers to all those questions? But at any rate, it's good that we're all back in studio tonight. First time in 3 weeks that, of course, Michael Tusky alongside as well. Michael and I were in Charlottesville last week. Frank was in Charlottesville the week before that. So we're all here, at, along with Jesse, in studio at WRNL. So this is indeed Hobbo. We got a jam-packed show for you tonight. Momentarily, we'll have former UVA guard and teammate of mine, Andrew Beninti, will join us. Bottom of the hour, we will have head tennis coach Brian Bolin talking about his squad and his ambitions for the year, which at this stage would be a national championship.
That's correct.
That's Virginia tennis ranked number 2 in the country at the moment. Dr. David Nediff from Ortho Virginia will join us in a timely way, because it'll be interesting maybe to get some feedback from him on the Joe Harris situation and how quickly that might. I know it won't be totally well anytime soon, but maybe hopefully the passage of days will make it a little better for Joe as we get ready for Maryland on Saturday. And then Frank has lined up a fourth-year student at Virginia on the ground, he's on the ground, but he's on the grounds, too. Alex Hardy, he's going to provide a special report in our second segment tonight before the bottom of the hour, and Michael Tusky will now describe how you can follow the show.
All right, we encourage call-ins. Just dial 345-0910. Who's Talking is also streaming live on sportsradio910.com and thesaber.com. All of our previous shows are archived on thesaber.com. We encourage you to go onto Facebook, just search for Who's Talking, become a fan, and post comments. We also encourage listeners to download the iHeartRadio app to listen to the show live on your smartphone. Your questions and comments are always welcome. Just call us at 345-0910.
Well, gentlemen, last night I watched the game, and I was so depressed afterwards, I told Dunda I was just going to go to bed. You know, I couldn't handle it. And then, you know, I woke up middle of the night, and I thought at first I just had a bad dream. Mm-hmm. Then I realized, no, that actually did happen. So tough night last night for the Hoos. Certainly going back to the Carolina game where they faded in the second half. Hasn't been a good couple of games. So Tony Bennett and his staff and players going to have to figure out some answers pretty quick between now and Saturday.
Hobbo, it's strange. When this season started for the Wahoos, I think most fans, knowledgeable fans, would give credit that Bennett had put together and kept together an experienced team, a relatively deep team, a team that had some height, a team that had some youth, and they had four scorers. And now it looks like Virginia has maybe two scorers. They're starting a freshman in Malcolm Brogdon. There's almost no depth. And now we're looking for players, hopefully, to lift their game. Otherwise, we've got to go to Vezenelek on the bench to come in and give us Jeremy Lin type of scoring.
Well, you know, the disappointment, certainly the injuries have hurt at this stage, the transfer of KT Harrell, because KT Harrell certainly you would think would be able to contribute right now, but he's nowhere to be found. So you are what you are, so they just got to figure it out. I don't know if Joe Harris can be effective going forward over the next 2 or 3 weeks. I hope so. And the guy that's a mystery is Sammy Zaglinski. He just simply has lost confidence shooting the basketball, at least in the games. But at any rate, I think we got Andrew on the line. As we say, Andrew was part of that 75 class that included Dan Bonner and Gus Girard, Brian Tully, and Spencer Graham. That's a name that most people are probably not familiar with. Andrew, of course, one of the premier left-handers in Virginia history, and a real estate mogul over there in Charlottesville. Isn't that right, Andrew?
Well, I think my only claim to fame is that at 58, I still can play a little bit of basketball, Jim. That's what I'm hanging my hat on right there.
Well, and he's not kidding, folks. I mean, this guy goes out and scrimmages with the current team periodically in the summertime, and I think he shows them. Andrew, in today's lexicon, he's got game. You know, and still quick, still can run up and down. So, yeah, we're talking about the team here. What do you think is the solution to the problem that they currently have?
Yeah, well, I think you guys have hit it, obviously. The defection of the players is, you know, he had his rotation. He had everything tight. He had everything set up. Loses the cup of the players, and then Jim, I know medicine's come a long way, but to be playing with a broken hand like 3 or 4 days after you've done, I just was really completely amazed at just the effort to get out there and try and play. I mean, you know, people say that the offhand it's his non-shooting hand, but basketball's played with two hands. You're putting your arm on the defensive player. You're sticking your hand in. You shoot your jumper. You're coming down. You don't want to land on. You don't want your hand to come down on him. I just think it's a very difficult thing. I really felt for him last night.
And I thought it was interesting, if you were watching the game on TV, Jason Williams, the former Duke player, made reference to the fact he had the same injury. And was referencing how painful it is. I think certainly have to credit Joe for being out there, but it is difficult when he's not able to be productive.
Well, again, you guys are hitting on it. If Sammy's not, I think the problem, Jim, you were a shooter that it didn't matter where you were. You could be outside, you're going to shoot, it's going to go in. You could have people on you, not on you. You were that kind of shooter.
This Sammy is the reason Andrew's like on the show. Like I can tell you that right now.
How much did Hobo pay you?
But he's more like I was, which was he needs the clock running down. He needs a man so tight on him that he has. He needs all of that. Otherwise, he's thinking too much, I believe. Yeah. So.
Well, poor Sammy has been a hard-working kid, overcome some bad injuries. He's had knee surgery. He's had hip surgery. And I think there was something else. Let's face it, he's not the biggest guy. If he's 6 feet, he's like Nate Archibald 6 feet, So, I just worry about him. Andy, I can't let you get off this show tonight without asking one question. Hobo said that, your nickname back in the day was T-Bird. I want to hear the story about the T-Bird.
Unfortunately, there are a lot of stories that can be told. I actually had a very old Thunderbird back in the day.
Now, keep in mind, this is a family show. Now, some of those stories can't be told.
Yes, but I think a Thunderbird. I was from New York. We did things a little differently. At the time, we thought Flash was a good thing. Obviously, I've learned that not to be the case. So. I came down to Virginia. Obviously, we couldn't have cars, as first years. But the second year, I come rolling in with a Thunderbird, an old Thunderbird. So,
and I understand there was a couple of friends you brought back from the district or whatever. They were pretty tough guys. Were these your bodyguards?
Oh gosh, I think I was the early start of the posse. We just didn't know. We didn't really have the terminology back then, but we had to travel with people. Yes.
You were there in the transition from Gibson to Holland. Take our listeners back to that period and just reminisce a little bit about the two coaches and how they were different.
Well, thank you. I'll tell you a quick Terry Holland story, which I think was. To me, was always very amazing. My claim to fame was always that the year, Jim, they got rid of me, the next year they won the ACC tournament. So, now, I say it was the year they got rid of Dan Bonner because we were co-captains, but let's say we both accept the blame. So we're playing NC State, and this is, of course, David Thompson, Monty Towell, and all of that. And we're down 20 in the first half. But then you know how it goes in the ACC tournament. They go for the underdog, and we come all the way back, I mean, all the way back, we have Wally Walker, Mark Ivoroni, Billy Langlow, myself, all the way back. Wally's got a shot, you know, we're down one, you know, we could win the game, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so we don't win it. We come in the locker room, you know, everybody's dejected and everything else. And Terry Holland, I mean, this is the kind of, you know, he was this kind of person. He turned and said, you know, I'm sorry, Andrew and everybody else. He said, but, you know, we're going to come back and win this tournament next year. Damn.
So that was the seeds of the big upset, because the next year in Landover, three of the biggest upsets back to back to back,
unbelievable,
probably in the history of college basketball. I mean,
I wasn't there. I remember I was up in New York and watched it, but you were exactly right. Those were just fantastic days with Dr. Stokes, you know, leading the way and everything else. And then, you know, so Coach Holland was, you know, he took things serious and, you know, everything, you know, he had a way. And but, you know, it was always about the team, and you always just really felt very good under him. I always tell the story. He was at Davidson, and tell me if I'm taking too long, but he was recruiting me to come to Davidson, and he showed up at my house in New York City, and, you know, not the best of all neighborhoods and everything else. And so my mother had made him a bundt cake, and I was trying to explain to my mother, because she loved Terry Holland. She thought that I needed to go with this man to whatever school he was. And I was trying to tell him, Davidson's kind of a small place, you know, it's not New York. Virginia's a little bigger, you know, and everything else. But it was kind of funny then in my fourth year that Terry Holland wound up, you know, being the coach after Coach Gibson, you know, went down to Florida. So,
yeah, T is a great guy. And it's funny, you think back, I mean, you talk about Ivoroni, Castellan,
yes,
Billy Langlow, Wally Walker, you know, Bonner really was the drag on that team, wasn't he?
He was walking it up, wasn't he?
But he has that golden voice. You know,
that's it. You know, we had Gus on last night, and he said Bonner had shortened his professional career, you know, by just having to practice against him.
I love that. Well, if anyone had some good stories to tell you, as you well know, Jim, there'd be nobody like Gus. Gus has the stories that can top all stories, I'm sure.
Well, we're working on another former player in Junior Burrow through our good friend Yuri Barnes, who's been an excellent guest on the show in the past and actually has committed for our show on March the 7th. But, Andy, going back to your days of playing,
sure.
I kind of remember you having a style of play in which I think your defender was never quite sure what direction you were going. And I thought you were a very good passer and a timely shooter. Talk to us a little bit about what you see happening that's slowing down the college game today. And, you know, all the games last night on TV, the scores were so low. It just it's so strange to me. But what are your thoughts?
You know, what a great point. We went to a high school game, my wife and I, and my wife and I have been together, as Jim knows, since high school. She's seen me play high school. We've gone the whole route. So we went to, somebody had a son playing. We went to the high school game, and the score was 43-40 or something, a high school basketball game. Mm. And I came home and I said to Fran, I said, get out some of the old clippings from high school. I just can't believe we were scoring in the 40s. We pulled out the clips. Now, this is no shot clock, no three-point thing. I mean, 97, 70, 88, 60, you know, I mean, I was so shocked because I'm just like you. I'm seeing these scores. I think, Jim, would you say that maybe it's they really are so much stronger and they push?
Well, I think they're more athletic. You know, I have a theory that at least in college that the shot clock has actually slowed things down and they're playing to the shot clock. You know, because back in the day we had to worry about Dean's four corner and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So teams pressed a lot more. You know, you put full court pressure on and that forced tempo. You know, you gave up some easy layups, but you also had some transition baskets as a result of steals, and I think the flow of the game was just better. I think sometimes this is hard to watch.
And again, not so much on the college level, but certainly on the high school level. I mean, the kids are looking at the coach coming up the court. You know, I mean, they're literally, they watch the play, and I'm thinking to myself, I think I see somebody open.
Yeah, real quick, Andrew, before we got to go to break, but do you have a favorite moment other than your time with Habbo?
I think my favorite moment was when when Gus did the fake behind the back on Bobby Jones.
Oh, I do remember that. Yeah, that was special.
This is way before the time anybody's faking it behind the back, bringing it back and laying it in the basket, and the place went nuts.
Yeah, he was spectacular. But anyway, Andrew Benigni joining us tonight. Andrew, thank you for taking a few minutes, and look forward to having you back on sometime soon.
You guys were very, very nice. I really appreciate it.
Take care.
Former UVA guard Andrew Benigni, we're going to go to break now, and when we come back, we will have Frank's fourth-year student, Alex Hardy, join us after these messages.
All right, you can't beat the Stones. All right, this is Frank Maloney, and this is Who's Talking. Just a reminder, you're good friends at the UVA Alumni Association, very active in our community. In fact, if you go to richmondwhos.com right now, you can find out how to participate in the big food fight with the Hokies that's underway at Martin's Grocery Stores. It benefits Central Virginia Food Bank. I encourage everyone to get involved and donate some food or go online and contribute some cash, or you can even make a donation at the cash register this year to benefit those that need food. All right, at this time we're going to bring on fourth-year student at UVA, Alex Hardy. Alex attended the St. Christopher's School here in Richmond, and I know Alex's parents, and I've gotten to know Alex recently. And Alex, are you there?
I'm here.
Very good, very good. All right, Alex, let's cover a few things. Curious about just UVA students and their impressions of the basketball team and sort of the crazy situation Virginia has right now. And if you've got any scoop on Joe Harris or Hassan Sen and their injuries, fire away.
All right. Well, one of my buddies is actually on the basketball team, so I've gotten a little inside information on those two guys. First off, start out with the tone. All the students are real pleased with the Hoos this year. As you might imagine, the past two losses on the ACC are a little deflating, and people are getting worried he might fall into kind of a mid-February slump before we head into March, but people are still optimistic. According to my friend on the team, Hassan Sen should be back early March, but they don't want to bring him back too soon. Joe Harris struggled last night, but he should be coming back in a couple of weeks, full strength. I think he's going to keep on playing as long as he can.
So he's going to try to play through the injury?
Yeah, of course. He's going to try and play through. But as you can tell by his numbers, he's not putting up the same kind of performance.
All right. Let's pivot here. The University of Virginia lacrosse team, which is defending national champions and number one in the nation, kicks off the season this weekend at Drexel. Meanwhile, today on Fox News, there's endless coverage on George Hughley's trial. Just being on the grounds at UVA now, what are your impressions, and maybe what are the impressions of the student body today?
Well, this won't come as a surprise. The Hughley case has had a heavy influence on the UVA community. You can see students are wearing the One Love wristbands and T-shirts, which are made shortly after Yardley's death, trying to wear them in support of Yardley and her memory and her family. Classes have brought up multiple times, kind of reference the case, making sure students are fully aware of what's going on. And the awareness of the case on grounds is completely inescapable. Between people talking about it, local news coverage, even Twitter has accounts where you can follow with minute-to-minute updates that give you graphic, detail, even quotes of what's going on inside the courtroom. People are pretty up-to-date on the play-by-play of what's happening. Most students trying to talk about it openly because it's a pretty grim subject, but it's hard to keep it off the back of your mind. It's an especially emotional time for students because those who are friends with Yardley were also friends of George because they ran the same circles. And so the students are being affected from the side of the victim and the accused. So it's an especially emotional time. Most of all, students are trying to remain positive and supportive of the Love family, and I think everyone at this point just wants some closure so we can move on from this situation.
All right, last question. Chris Bird, a Richmond area product, broke his collarbone in the Chick-fil-A Bowl. And I know you've got some information about that situation.
Yep. According to Cavalier Insider, Chris Bird told him that this is actually not the first time he's broken his collarbone. He broke it once before in high school. And he said he knows how to deal with it. And he was confident saying, and I quote, "The injury will be an afterthought by the time the pro day comes around." So it seems like he's not worried. He's expected to participate in every event except for the bench press. So it seems like he's confident, and he should be able to participate in everything but the bench and hopefully have a successful pro day.
Very good. Well, Alex, we've appreciated your perspective tonight, and let's stay in touch, and maybe in a couple weeks we can bring you back if there have been some updates. And good luck with your studies there at UVA.
All right, sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Alex. All right, we're headed for our second break and looking forward to visiting with UVA's award-winning head tennis coach, Brian Bolin. Feel free to call us at 345-0910 with your questions. Who's Talking returns in a few minutes.